This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the main floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday suckage on the score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I am Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. I'm here. Let's find out who else is here. Grabber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the sock team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
Terry Bars!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck, I tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Wendt.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
The legend, Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have it happen game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbanks.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
AJ Pierzynski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
Michael Kopech.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Mark Burley.
So it did suck.
J.D. Martinez.
They say we suck, we suck. Let's suck. Let's go suck together. Let's go have fun sucking.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you, for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Tyler Farrengold.
I continue to suck so you guys don't have to.
Excellent job. Welcome to Saturday Suckage. We, together, suck so you don't have to. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number at the Score, 312-644-6767. That number also gets you to our text line, 312-644-6700. Okay, here's your Bears news. The Chiefs placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on guard Trey Smith. Smith was the great free agent hope around here. Everybody had him as a Bear, and now everyone acts and sounds like it's over.
War's over, man. Wormer dropped the big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
It's not over, because here's the thing, people. It's not over because the Chiefs did the same thing last year with L'Jarius Sneed. They tagged same way, non-exclusive franchise tag, and then traded Sneed to Tennessee. They tagged him on March 4th. They traded him on March 29th. So it might be that Ryan Poles has to make a trade to get Trey Smith, not sign him in free agency. Do you trust Ryan Poles to do that? He'd be dealing with a smart GM, not the Panthers owner. There's a problem there. We'll discuss that later in the show. And now, here's your Bulls news. The Bulls won a game they shouldn't have after Coby White completed a four-point play with the Bulls down four in regulation, and then they waxed the Raptors in overtime. They have a 2.5-game lead in the play-ins. Last spot, it's insurmountable the way these teams are tanking. And this is important for the Bulls, who don't know how to lose the right way. And then there's this. In case you were wondering if there's any hope, there's not. Arturis Karnišovas was on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. That's the one with Stacey King and Mark Schanowski. It's out today on YouTube. And there is no hope. Here's the piece from AK that he paints for fans, for observers, for anybody following the team. And here's the cut that kind of shows he's playing Bulls fans for suckers.
After the season, I think we're going to focus on the draft in 2025. I know we're going to get a good player. Then the free agency in 2025, and then 2026 draft is going to be pretty good as well. And then 2026 free agency, we've committed only a fraction of our salary cap. Salary cap projected to be $170 million in 2026, and we committed only $45 million as of right now. So wow. That's how we look, you know, ahead of like 18 months plan to see this team developing, and we'll see how that's going to pan out.
Well, we know how it's going to pan out. If past is prologue, they're going to suck. All this suckage, all this time, Bulls fans, and now they're going to suck more. Look, you got another 18 to 24 months of suckage. 18 to 24 months before you can think of anything more than a play-in spot, if that. This guy talking about getting money off the books, it's money he put on the books, by the way, put so much money on the books in such a stupid way that the Bulls had to trade Zach LaVine for the right to own all of their draft pick, all of their number one draft, not get somebody else's first rounder. just be lucky to hold all of their own. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And Karnishova says several times they're going to get a good player. Seriously? When has this happened in his first round? Please, point that out to me. Waiting. Waiting. You're nuts if you trust him to make the right moves. You're nuts or you're Reinsdorf. You're a Reinsdorf. The evidence suggests Karnishovas is inept or inert. Longtime fans will remember, longtime Chicagoans will know, Arturas Karnishovas, or Karnishovas, is Lithuanian for Bob Pulford. Inept and inert, do little, change little. Unless, of course, you're the Orlando Magic. Karnishovas made the Magic better and got them more playoff wins than the Bulls by trading with them. Why didn't Karnishovas rebuild the Bulls before he rebuilt the Magic? Why doesn't this indictment cost him his job? Because the arena is packed. Because of you, Bulls fans. That's why.
Can you just say again, or ask, can you ask again, when's the last time Arturas Karnishovas has drafted a good player in the first round? Just ask it again.
When's the last time he drafted a good player in the first round? He doesn't have to. The arena is full. Even if he had the acumen to do so, he doesn't have to. AK is trying to sell you on the idea that 9 or 10 very good players can win an NBA title. He's shoveling BS. He's shoveling the BS that you don't need three stars. He's wrong, and history tells you this. It just doesn't tell him that. Besides, AK hasn't brought in 9 or 10 very good players in his 5 seasons here. I mean, just look. AK is talking about drafting good players and bringing good players, 9 or 10 good players, able to win a title. Let's count what he has done in 5 years. Lonzo Ball. Not now, really, but back then when he was healthy. Now he can't play back-to-back. How are you a very good player if you can't play back-to-back? Ball's knee injury showed that he was AK's Michael Jordan because the team has sucked since that day, since that injury. And nobody important cared enough to ask why AK still has a job. Looking at you, Michael Reinsdorf. All right, so there we'll start. Lonzo Ball. And by the way, AK cost the Bulls a draft pick because he got caught cheating in signing Ball. And then AK brought in Vooch and DeRozan. Good players. Yeah. Maybe not the right players. Maybe not the best players. Good players.
That's a great point about the draft pick for Lonzo Ball. Yeah. Great so point.
That's three. Three players. AK brought in Alex Caruso. Very good player. You know, Io is a good player, too. All right, so we're up to five. And then who? Then what? We're trying to get to 9 or 10 very good players. And he's had 5 years to do this. I'm at five. Andre Drummond, very good as a bench player. But only as a bench player. Do I give you that one? 9 or 10 seems to include the bench. So that's thick. Six. I'll give you that one. Then what? Josh Giddey isn't a very good player on any type of consistent basis. Remember, it was Karnishovas who said 9 or 10 very good players. Josh Giddey isn't very good consistently. And you need consistency to know that a player can be relied on and can be very good that way. You don't know whether you can close a championship game with him.
The Rising Thunder got rid of him. I think that says a lot about him.
Matis Buzelis might grow up to be very good, but not today. He's not a very good player. Again, the inconsistency, what you see are some really good things and then some like head scratchers. AK didn't bring in Zach. He was already here from a bad trade. AK paid Levine a stupid amount of money. AK traded Lauri Markkanen. Both were here, and ditto Kobe White. And his drafts have not found starters, not without a bunch of injuries. His highest draft choice, Patrick Williams, 4th overall. is either hurt or afraid to play with the adults in the starting lineup. But wait, there's more. There's more shame to be rained down upon the Bulls. Basketball Reference says Patrick Williams is a minus 0.4 value over a replacement player. So that's like a G leaguer. Maybe not even a G leaguer. Compare and contrast that number, minus 0.4, with Franz Wagner's 6.2 VORP. For those of you late to class, Wagner is the player the Magic took with the Bulls with the draft. He's the player they took with the draft choice the Bulls surrendered so they could get Vooch. And then he gave Vooch a new contract, and now he's hurt after regressing to the suck. So in this exercise, to see if AK has cobbled together 9 or 10 very good players that he says could win a championship, I'm at 6. 6 is not 9 or 10. 6 players who could be considered at least good, none of whom are great. Since 2021, that's 5 years, AK has brought in just 6 good or very good players. That's his barometer. And some of those are debatable. 6 from the guy who laughingly said you can win a title with 9 or 10 really good players. Very good players. You don't need great players. He's taking half a decade to show he couldn't even reach that number. And now he's telling you on the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, another 18 to 24 months, and boy, we're going to have the prince of the play-in is telling you to wait another 2 years. How does this guy still have a job? Because the NBA, the Bulls lead the NBA in attendance. That's how. Ownership of a team with 6 trophies wants to make sure the team is just good enough to fake excitement and maybe get a couple playoff gates. Because apparently the NBA is more of a turnstile league than the NHL. Keep filling the United Center Bulls fans. Keep giving ownership no reason to expect better. I could only dream of getting a full house after a full house of suckage. And here AK has a job for life as the poster child for it. You're being played for stupid, Bears Bulls fans. And you seem to be happy about it. So, forecast, 2 more years, the same bag of crap. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for joining me on Saturday Suckers. Take a break. When we come back, we will talk some baseball with Paul Sullivan and wanting to hope that there's new hope for the White Sox, that there's not more historic suckage over there. And the Cubs going to Japan, wondering if we should let them back in the country afterwards. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Hey, I know him. Welcome and welcome back. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum. Coming up later on, we will talk noon, talk with Tuck Bears with Clay Harbor, former NFL tight end. We'll talk some Bulls with Chuck Swirsky, the Dancing Chuck, 1240, 1 o'clock, Herb Howard of the Bigs will be here. We'll talk. It's the big day, the end of the big day. All the pretty shiny things are on display at the Combine. We'll talk to him about what he has seen this week and what the Bears need. And it's running backs day, and they need a running back. And we'll go from there. But for now, joining me on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline is Paul Sullivan, in the wake of the news columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Download the Circa app today. Sully, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Rosie?
I'm groovy. I got to say, groovy. And
You always are.
Yeah. And the most important question is this, with Justin Turner, more Duck Dynasty or more ZZ Top?
I'm not sure I get that one.
Come on, the beard, the look.
Or is he a... is this a political thing? I don't know.
No. It wasn't a political thing. It was just the beard, the look, the way. I didn't know if he was
He's more well-groomed than in the past, that's for sure. I don't know about the, he has that pine tar thing where he puts pine tar on his shoulder or on his helmet and it gets all over his uniform. I think he still does that. But, it's one of those deals where you don't get one of the best third baseman in baseball, and you turn to a 40-year-old guy, and it's a lot cheaper.
It is, but why are the Cubs acting like a small market team?
Well, that's a good question. I would imagine that Ricketts probably not happy that he did pay a little bit of a luxury tax last year when he went over the threshold for a team that was barely over 500, and he's not willing to do it again because there are extra penalties if you go over it 2 years in a row. So that would be my guess. He just doesn't want to pay. He's, I think he's kind of like the Jason Hayward contract still bothers him, and he doesn't want to play with the big boys. So he's willing to ride it out with the. Which, it should be a decent team, don't get me wrong, but could be a better one.
So the Dodgers do it, the Yankees do it, the Mets do it. We're talking big market teams. And San Diego seems to be able to do it. They talk about throwing a lot of money at something. And
Philly, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they were the number four market, then were Houston. So why? What's it gonna take? Does the lockout have something to do with it? Is there lockout language being talked about the way we had heard previously when there were apparent work stoppages, or was it just here's our best offer and they finished fourth out of four teams for Alex Bregman?
Yeah, I'm not sure if the lockout has anything to do with it. Although most people that I talk to are in agreement that there probably is going to be a lockout in a couple of years because of the owners. Are adamant that they want that salary cap, then players union is not going to give into that as they haven't for the last, 30, 40 years, whatever, how many years it's been since the strike. Was it 90, 94, 95? So, I just think that's just his philosophy. He's just not going to give out these long-term major, nine-figure contracts. A few exceptions. Dansby got a long-term one, but, relatively speaking, it was not as expensive, especially as compared to the other shortstops that were on the market that year. So I just don't think that's his philosophy, and he's going to stick to it. And unless he sells the team, I don't think he's going to change.
The feeling always was that all the money would go back, that the baseball team generates, would go back into the baseball team. And now the likelihood, it appears, some of the criticism is, well, this is a real estate venture that happens to include a baseball team, not unlike when it was a Tribune corporate subsidiary that happened to play baseball and consume a lot of beer. The more things change, the more they stay the same, it seems to me. You want to disabuse me of that?
No, but I will say that it's way different than the Tribune Company because he owns so much outside of the ballpark. Mm-hmm. He owns the TV network. He owns all that Tribune did own WGN, obviously, but he owns his own TV network. He owns a lot of the buildings around the ballpark. a lot of the real estate, you know, that they've built around there is his property, or he had a lot to do with it. So there are a lot of things that have changed that are more revenue producing for him. And a lot of it he doesn't have to share with the other owners, because it's not really, it's Cub related, but it's, you know, it's not part of the Cubs. So, yeah, he's a smart guy. He knows how to make money, and he knows the fan base is going to turn out pretty much either way. They keep raising the prices, despite the fact that the team doesn't do very well, kind of like the Bears. They know that the market is going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the way it is. It's a great sports town. People want to watch their sports. They want to watch it live, and, you know, that's the way it is.
You just pointed out all these revenue streams that would be an argument for overbidding for Alex Bregman. This year is the year kind of thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. But honestly, with Bregman, do you think he's worth $40 million a year? I really thought that the offer that they did make him was not, I mean, they knew that they wasn't going to get him at that price, but I thought it was a reasonable price to give a guy of his age and where he's at in his career. I mean, you know, I may be wrong, but I don't really look at him as a $40 million player a year right now, maybe 5 years ago, but they could have spent the money elsewhere. My bone of contention is they could have kept Cody, who didn't have a great year, but he was injured. And I think you would have been better with Cody on your roster as first baseman, maybe with Michael Bush, or maybe use Michael Bush's DH and trade Saya. But either way, they didn't have to deal him, I don't think. And they didn't really get anything in return. It was basically just a salary dump.
So my guest is Paul Sullivan, writes in the Wake of the News column for the Chicago Tribune. We're talking baseball here on The Score on Saturday Suckage. And suckage seems to be appropriate for some of the way baseball works around here. Do you view the Cubs as the best team in the division, at least for now? And,
oh, for sure.
Yeah? Well,
don't you?
I
mean, Milwaukee lost the closer, Devin Williams. They gave up their best, well, one of their best hitters, Willie Adames. Cardinals retrenching, you know, Reds and Pirates still in rebuild phase. Maybe better, but yeah, the Cubs definitely should win that division.
I think the Brewers are smarter than the Cubs. I think they've proven it with less money and more lost players, because they got rid of Josh Hader and somehow they managed to find another closer. They keep finding guys. They lost their manager. He became the highest paid manager in the world, and Pat Murphy's doing great.
Well, they had Devin Williams when they traded Hader, so it wasn't like they didn't know what they
well they didn't know he could pitch
closer.
But they didn't know he could pitch the ninth inning. I mean, the Cubs once had LaTroy Hawkins, and he couldn't go into the ninth inning. He wasn't even allowed to watch the ninth inning.
Yeah, well, you're getting a whole nother
I'm just saying
there.
Some guys are cut out for that and some guys aren't.
Yeah, but I don't know, Devin Williams, he's been pretty good since he came up, so I don't and I'm not disputing that it's not a smart organization. They do get the most out of their players. And, you know, obviously Craig Counsell got a lot of credit for that. So we'll see if he can get the best out of this team. And, you know, I think it being that could be Jed's last year, at least the last year of his contract,
yeah,
that he's going to be motivated that if they are in contention, that they should do something at the trade deadline to add to the team. And at this point, they do have flexibility since they didn't get Bregman. So, I guess we'll have to wait and see what they do.
So if Counsell got credit for what the Brewers were, the Rabbits, they were able to pull out of their hats, and then they lose Counsell, and there's Pat Murphy, and he just continues to tweak the Cubs by winning and be looking smarter than the Cubs are, doesn't this raise some doubt about Counsell's value?
It's only 1 year, Steve. I mean,
never let a small sample size stand in the way of criticism.
Yeah, I mean, It wasn't like, you know, Pat Murphy inherited a, you know, 100 loss team and he won the division. They were still a pretty good team when he got them. So I don't know. I tend to think that Council is still one of the better managers in baseball. And but he's got to win. There's just no question about that. He's got to win in Chicago. And he, when you're getting paid the most money, there's more pressure on you. So I guess we'll find out.
So speaking of you and your billionaire friends that you wrote about, and billionaires like to make more billions, what? According to your billionaire friends, you were writing on.
What
just,
did I say?
You don't remember what you wrote? God, you've entered my category. Talking about Justin.
Refresh my memory. Justin Ishbia.
Yeah. And that.
He's not my billionaire friend, but he is a billionaire.
Mm-hmm. And yesterday was the vote, right? Yesterday was the deadline, not the vote, but yesterday was the deadline for being able to sell your, if you're a White Sox investor, to be able to sell your shares to Justin Ishbia, right? Do we know anything about that? Who did what?
I do not know any White Sox investors that have given me any inside information about whether they've sold their shares to Justin. I'm sure a lot of them did, or at least a good amount of them did, because there's a lot of money to mm-hmm. be made if you did do that, even if you have a very small percentage. But I don't know. He hasn't replied to my message trying to contact him, so I don't know what he's thinking. I do think that a lot of Sox fans are excited about the possibility that he will buy the team, but I also, just knowing Reinsdorf, I find it hard to believe that he would sell the team while he's still alive. So, you know, it's still a mystery, and obviously he's the guy that is in line to buy the team, but I in my mind, I think he would probably buy it from Michael or Jonathan Reinsdorf, his kids, after they inherit it from their dad.
Talking with Paul Sullivan, in the wake of the news columnist for the Chicago Tribune, we're talking baseball here. So I had a feeling 2 weeks ago, last week, when this thing broke and reading about it, Jerry Reinsdorf could not move quick enough to make sure he had Justin Ishbia under his tent, because he saw the new version of Steve Cohen going to the Minnesota Twins. I thought that was a possibility. And you go, well, you know what? I don't want that. I don't want to compete against that. And a happy byproduct was maybe he buys that, and maybe he does that for the White Sox. Do you have any idea what kind of owner he would be if let's say he becomes that guy, he becomes the chairman and he buys the team and he's sitting up there in his soon to be $43 million mansion in all of Ishbia Town up there on the North Shore? Do we have any idea, any indication what kind of owner he would be?
Well, the only indication we would have is what kind of owner he and his brother are with the Phoenix Suns. And that was very aggressive that they went out and got Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. And, you know, that hasn't worked out very well for them, honestly. They're still under 500. I think they're out of the they're under the play-in race, too. The last I saw, at least. But he is, at least his brother, I'm not sure how many decisions he helps out in with the Suns, but they're definitely an aggressive organization and not afraid to make a big move. And I would imagine if he's anything like his brother, they would do the same thing with the White Sox. But it's really hard to say because we don't know. We haven't talked to him. I don't believe he's said anything to anyone. If he has, I haven't read it. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I mean, either way, it's got to be a little more than what we're getting right now. So I don't think it could get much lower. They don't have anyone outside of Benintendi on their payroll in 2 years. I mean, they're basically at the bottom right now. So it's it's a team that's he's got a long way to go. I don't think he's going to come in, even if he did buy the team in the next year, he's not going to come in and just buy a million free agents. But I think in the long run, he would invest money into the team and possibly, you know, invest his own money into a new ballpark.
Wow, that's a whole different part of it. Well, we'll have to have another conversation.
It's just a guess, though, because, you know, who knows?
We'll that's right.
See what he says.
We don't know. We know that according to your billionaire friends, billionaires tend to like making even more billions in a new ballpark.
They do.
Yeah. See, that's
just move the team. Who knows? Everyone's excited about him coming, and then all of a sudden he says, Sydney. "Yeah, I'm moving to Nashville."
Yeah. So. There you go. All right. Let's play that game again. New face, same story. Sully, I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Okay, Rosie. Take care, man.
Take care. Paul Sullivan in the wake of the news columnist for the Chicago Tribune. We're talking baseball here. Take a break. When we come back, I got some football thoughts. Ryan Poles was talking, and it was palm to forehead time. Talk about that next on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Stand on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. I was such a fine sight to see, and I have pictures. Standing next to statues of my best friends, Glenn Frey and Jackson Brown. I remember often talking with Scott Merkin, and we go, well, you know what? It's a three-hour drive down there from where the Sox were, and it's a intersection at Highway 66, but come on, it's a corner in Winslow, Arizona. It's an Eagles pilgrimage. Welcome in, welcome back. So I started the show with a GM playing fans for stupid. And now here's another one, Ryan Poles. Poles appeared on PFT Live, Pro Football Talk Live, with Mike Florio and Chris Sims. And he was asked questions about positions, scouting positions. That's what it is at the Combine. Today, the combine, it's all the pretty shiny things. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. And Poles was asked the toughest position to scout and some other scouting ideas entered into the discussion. So here's that clip.
For you, what's the hardest position to evaluate? I know they're all hard, right? Yeah. Or maybe annoying or whatever. What's the one where there's just a lot of variables where it's a lot of work to go through it?
Safeties.
You're the second person to say that.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of touch points. When you watch offensive linemen, every play can be graded.
Right.
Safeties, their involvement is sporadic.
Right.
And I also think there's, if you just look at production, the ball can kind of find them.
Yeah, get lucky.
There's a little luck there. It gets even harder when there's guys where, you know, maybe they don't have traits and there's a lot of luck. And then you start to wonder, is it just them putting themselves in a really good position?
Yeah,
so
right.
It takes a lot of tape to get to the bottom of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. How about O-line? You're an ex-O-lineman. Do you feel like you know some things maybe that maybe another GM doesn't or have an advantage there?
Yeah, I think anyone that's played a position probably knows, the little details that they can pick up on to evaluate better. If it's offensive lineman and it's, you know, the interior guys and the mental quickness you got to have, you kind of look at the eyes and see how they adjust. Something goes away and then boom, they come back to something coming to them. So you can almost feel that from your own reps that you've taken.
Yeah, sure.
Which is important. But that's why, you know, you rely on all your scouts that have different, you know, expertise in different areas.
Then why is Ryan Poles' offensive line sucked? And don't give me injuries. Because Ryan Poles said at the beginning of last year, probably the best depth I've ever had. Talk about his offensive line. And then the former offensive lineman's greatest depth at offensive line got Caleb Williams sacked 68 times. Nice depth, Pally. Any more of Poles' idea of depth than Williams would have set an NFL record for sacks or be fitted for a coffin. Nate Davis was a bad move, and it kept getting worse. Lousy due diligence by Poles. This is a guy with a reputation for not liking to practice. Everybody except Ryan Poles seemed to know it. Then he didn't practice. Then he didn't play. Then he was told, don't show up. He was a year late on Ryan Bates, Ryan Poles was. Coleman Shelton could hike the ball. That's good for a center. At least he could before he got steamrolled like he was in a cartoon or something, like he was Wile E. Coyote getting smashed by an Acme box. Karan Amagaji, there you go. He came pre-hurt. That's what Ryan Poles. The Bears history tells you they love their guys pre-injured. And when he played, uh-oh. And he's perfect example, perfect hood ornament for all of Ryan Poles' third-round picks. There are many. None of them are good. I don't know when all of Ryan Poles' magical private knowledge of blocking people shows up. Done all right? It's good. Braxton Jones, probably good. He's probably
serviceable.
Charles Leno Jr. And guard to guard, you got nothing. Guard to guard, you have to rebuild. And there he is on Mike Florio should know better, by the way. I mean, Mike Florio can ask that question. You're your inside knowledge. You played the position. You should know if stuff to give you a leg up. And then a follow-up question should have been, why did your offensive line suck? Why did you nearly get the most important human being in Hallis Hall killed? Nearly got him killed. We do not know the emotional and mental damage done to Caleb Williams. And who knows if they're hiding physical damage that has to be figured out, repaired over the offseason. But Ryan Poles, the former offensive lineman, and his offensive line failed in an epic way to protect and develop the most important player at Hallis Hall, most important human. Until further notice, there's no reason for anyone, and that includes Caleb Williams, to trust Ryan Poles' decision-making. I'm not even sure Ben Johnson was Poles' decision. I mean, remember, Kevin Warren neutered Ryan Poles and told the world that he would order the eunuch Ryan Poles to be the point man on the coaching search and bring him candidates. My God, what a gelding. This is exactly what a GM does anyways. What Kevin Warren, the sanctimonious hustler, went to great lengths to say was a basic description of a GM's job, one of the important parts of a GM job. And by that, by saying the way he did in that post-firing press conference, he gelded Ryan Poles. I don't know if any parts of that anatomy have been given back, but it's reason to make you skeptical. It's reason to wonder the Ben Johnson decision, who made it? Good decision, we think. Best decision, best roll of the dice out there. That's the way we should put it. You never know when a head coach is not going to be a good head coach. We should have known when Matt Eberflus came out with the acronym. Acronyms are stupid. They're high schoolish. They don't belong in the NFL, and neither does Matt Eberflus, at least not as a head coach. Whoever made the decision to bring in Johnson, something Caleb Williams wanted, go team. Good. That's right. Caleb Williams has to be headed to a better headspace on that alone. Hopefully, whatever damage emotionally and mentally that Ryan Poles inflicted by his incompetence will be changed, eradicated, salved by the best play caller in the NFL. He still has, at least sitting with holding the title of general manager, Caleb Williams still has the guy assembling one of the worst offensive lines you could imagine, with the least amount of depth in a year where he identified it as the best depth he ever had. This guy ostensibly is making the titular decisions of a general manager. You can only hope Ben Johnson is, because Ryan Poles has shown he does not know what he's doing on the offensive line. Pro tip, Caleb, wear Kevlar. We'll talk more NFL football, more Bears, with Clay Harbor, a former NFL tight end. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
And, you know, we have a saying here, you know, we play on the hits principle, and it's really starts with H. You know, the H is the hustle part of it, and then the I is how we play with intensity. You know, the T is taking the ball away, and then the S is being smart situationally.